Gim?
You still have no idea what process you're on.
Okay, I can't really hear you. That's the problem. We're on page 406.
That doesn't help me. I need the pasuk. I don't have the text.
Page 406, Mizmar Mem Hei Pasuk Vav.
That's what I've been waiting for.
Pasuk Vav. Kisachar Lekim Olam Ued Shevet
Yishar.
Zion. Pasuk Zion. I'm sorry. Pasuk Zion. Pasuk Zion. Kisachar Lekim Olam Ued Shevet Yishar Shevet Malchusecha. Let's see Rashi. Yeah, we learned this yesterday. We learned yesterday the Mitzvah David. According to the Mitzvah David, this is, we are describing the Melech HaMashiach. According to Rashi, we're now going to be describing Talmidei Chachamim. Kisacha Elokim Olam Vod Rashi. Kisacha Elokim. Kisacha, Kisacha, your throne. Sar Vishayfeit Le'olam Vod. So it would seem the Kisei here is not the Kisei of Malchus, which ordinarily is a term that is used for Malchus, but it rather refers to the Talmidei Chachamim. And it's not a problem, because we've already had this in the last few psukim. Man Malkei Rabbona. Who are the true kings? This is a Chazal. Chazal treat Talmidei Chachamim as kings. Man Malkei Rabbona. Kisacha Elokim. Kisacha. Now the word Elokim ordinarily means Hashem. We all know that. We use the word Elokim probably 95% of the time in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the word Elokim really means authority. Al ad dvar Elohim yavoi ad Elohim yavoi dvar shenehem. It says Pashat Mishpatim. There's a dispute. So where do the litigants go? They go to Elohim. What is Elohim? To court. To a court. To Elohim means authority. The truth is, there is really no word in the entire Torah that refers exclusively to Hashem. Many of the words are borrowed expressions of authority and power and might, and that we use in the context of the psukim as a reference to Hashem, because Hashem is infinite. Hashem is infinite. When you describe something with a word in letters, to a degree you're coming to limit the scope of what you're discussing by taking a person and giving him a name. So you're, in essence, you're limiting the person's essence to a collection of letters. That's a limitation. That's a limitation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot possibly be described. So how then do we describe Hashem? We borrow words that are used to describe authority, grandeur, and power, and we use those words and those letters to refer to Hashem.
How about you, Kaito?
So Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is really, according to what I've learned, I have a sefer at home on Kaddish, Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shmei Rabba, and in that sefer he shows that Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is Aramaic. In fact, it's not even a word, it's a composite of the common letters of three Aramaic words, Hoyo, Hoveh, V'Yihiyeh. You take those words, you have to show it on a chart, take those words and write them all down and take the common letters, omit all of the redundant letters, and you come up with Yud, and then the letter He, the letter Vav, and the letter He. Now those are Aramaic words. Hoyo is also Hebrew also, but Hoveh is Aramaic, the present, and Yiyeh, some of these words are both Aramaic and Hebrew, but it is a composite of three words, the past, the present, and the future. You're right, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is not a word that is used for anything other than Hashem. And the way it is explained in this sefer, which I have to go back
also,
and review.
And also,
yeah.
So why also,
it said that there are 70. There are 70 names for Hashem.
There are 70, it says in the Medrash, there are 70 names for Hashem.
And yet none of them make a complete description.
None of them are a complete description of Hashem. These are terms which we borrow. We borrow from the language and we use it to describe Hashem. Elohim is one of those names. Elohim just means an authority. Ad Elohim Yovo Dvar Shnehem.
It's a kind of shechalat.
You're giving over from Hashem's authority. So you're saying a different idea. You're commonly saying just the opposite. Of commonly saying that really the word Elohim really is sacred. It refers to Hashem. However, in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his humility, he gives from his power to man So man should be a partner with Hashem and having authority in this world, controlling and judging events in this world. You go in the other direction. Really, Elohim is sacred. But Hashem gives from his authority to Beis Din, to people, to share that authority. Shecholak
mechvoido.
Delegate. To delegate shecholak mechvoido lebosav adam.
Okay, so why, if it's only letters, why is the Yud K and the Bar K so special that we don't even pronounce it out in that way?
Because there's no other exception. The Yud K Vav K is exclusively used for Hashem. Other names are not. Other names are used Kel. Yesh le'el yodi. There is power to my hand. El just means the Ele Tzoyin, the mighty, Ele Haaretz, the mighty people of the earth. The word Aleph Lamed is not necessarily a holy name. When we use it in reference to Hashem, then it becomes holy. Tzivakos. Tzivakos refers to the stars, the hosts, the heavenly bodies. When we use it, when we borrow it, and we use it to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it becomes holy. Elohim is not necessarily holy, but when we use it to describe Hashem, then it becomes holy. But Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is never, ever used for anything other than Hashem. So that appears to be other shemos, more mystical names which we don't necessarily know what they are, or maybe it's the pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei in a different way. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Okay, so you're asking why Yud Yud is a convention. Yud Yud is basically like, it's equivalent to really what we do today. You write the letter Hey, and you put an apostrophe, a strechel right after the Hey as a reference to Hashem. Yud Yud is a more ancient technique of alluding to Hashem. The reason why it was done is like a shemus. I once made a bencher. What I do, I once made a bencher, and I put on the bencher Yud Kei Vav Kei. And the editor or the publisher says, you don't do that. Anything which will likely end up in the garbage, you don't put Yud Kei Vav Kei. You put Yud Yud. Because Yud
Yud. I noticed when they advertised a lot of Svarim from Art School, I took a look, I was surprised. But I looked at it when they give you a photo or something, and it's got the Yud Kei Vav Kei. If you take a look, you don't have to look that close.
But you can still
split.
See it, right?
There's a split in the letters.
Sometimes they're careful, they're not careful. But it seems that maybe
right. No, but there's a split. The letters are not whole. The A is split.
It seems that years ago they were more sensitive to the kedusha of Hashem's name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, so they did not want to actually write Yud Kei Vav Kei on print, because it would either end up in the garbage or makes
right.
it more complicated. So instead of putting Yud Kei Vav Kei, they put a double Yud, Yud Yud. Today it's not so common anymore. Today on a lot, most the art school doesn't do that in art school. There's no Yud Yud in any art school product. They still, the art school, they still have it, but it became today much less common. I don't know why. Today in all of the Siddurim they spell out Yud Kei Vav Kei.
Well, they say that even though you're saying the name different, you should actually look at the name.
Right. You should look, even though you're pronouncing it Aleph Dalet Nun Yun, you should actually see the image of the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei in front of you. Maybe that's the reason why they put back the Yud Kei Vav Kei. You have to ask the editors. It would really be great to collect all of these questions, all of these, because art school has dominated. You can't deny the fact that whether it's mazel, whether it's good marketing, whether it's, I don't know what it is, they have dominated the market. Today you go into a shul, and what do they have on the shelf? 95% of the time, you're going to find art school siddurim on the shelf. So, whatever it is, they have become very, very dominant, and they have put into their products chidushim lahalacha that are not necessarily traditional. And it would be very good to
That's
take.
That's why people are saying Geshe, Masha Baruch Marit Geshe.
Geshem, Goshem.
The old siddurim, everyone used to say HaGoshem.
Right.
Everybody.
In this shul, it's very sensitive. Rabbi Greenberg.
Slowly. Everyone thinks it's Geshe. No, it's Masha Baruch Marit HaGoshem.
This shul is.
If Rabbi Zlotowitz would have known what Rabbi Moshe held.
He told my father. He told that to my father. He told my father. He told my father exactly what you said. He told my father that he did not know that Rav Moshe held that it should be Goshen.
Right.
Had he known, it would not have happened. Right. It would have been printed in the art scroll, the Sidurim Goshen. Today in the art scroll, the Sidurim, they have Geshem on top, and then they have a footnote on the bottom, Nusach Acher Goshen. So okay, but whatever. So I want.
Rebbe Scheinberg said, "Nishul is Hagoshen."
Goshen.
Everyone should say Hagoshen.
Rabbi Greenberg of this shul, beginning with Zichron Levracha, the Rav of this shul for decades, was very, very makbid to say Goshen.
Yeah.
Very makbid.
Yeah, well, he followed Rav Moshe.
He followed the Talmud of Moshe.
Even here too.
Very makbid. Very makbid.
Goshen.
Most shuls. Do whatever you want, no one cares.
It doesn't help.
Oh, so that's the dilemma. That's the question. The question is, when you say in the grammar, is it the end of a sentence, or is it in the middle of a sentence? So that's a very big dilemma. I want the best shiur that I ever heard on this topic is from Rabbi Dr. Schneer Lyman. You can get his shiur probably on yutorah.org. And he goes through all the issues, if I vaguely remember, and he did enormous research on old Sidurim, and like he, you know, he has the tools and he has the skill in researching this matter. And at the end, he said, after discussing, he said, there is no way to be machria. There are solid, ironclad rayos both ways, historically, and in rules of grammar, and the rules of lumbus, of what it means. And you can't be machria, and elu ve'elu divilukim chayim. But I can tell you, if you listen to him very, very carefully, you see that he has a leaning to Goshen, not Geshen. He doesn't say it, but you get the sense listening to the entire conversation.
Everyone always said Goshen, and you know, 20 years ago.
All right.
Never did you hear the word Geshen.
Yeah, a lot more important.
In every Sfar Shul, in any Hasidic places, you'll hear Geshen. You'll never hear Goshen.
In the Litvish, I think it used to
be. The Litvish Olam that's coming out.
The Litvish Olam, they say more Goshen. The Hasidic Olam, they say Geshen. Someone once told me, maybe even he said this. I don't know if it's a joke or it's something serious. What is a komatz? Komatz means to close your fist. To close your fist. What is a segol? Am segula. Segol is something that is precious. So the litvaks, they're very cheap. So you say goshen.
They say
a small amount. Komatz.
They say that with that filling.
Komatz.
The Ashkenaz themselves.
Ashkenaz,
and the
Svar, Ashkenaz, the, you go to you, okay. You takers, and the Svar, you go to someone else. You go the
and
other
you
direction.
Out.
You give. So, with a segel. Segel means it has very. You want to be stingy, only a small amount. You want a lot of money, a lot of parnasa. A segel. Yeah, these are jokes, but
it's a joke or it's honest.
So you tell me
like
the Svardish Shukahan and the Svardish Shukahan and Gutin like this, and the Ashkenazi go like this.
Okay, these are
just the opposite.
Let me ask Baruch over here. Baruch was an expert in these matters from his Rebbe. Baruch, what did your Rebbe, Rebbe Zitzholz, what was his opinion on this matter? Is it Geshem or Goshem?
My Rebbe said Geshem.
Goshem. Okay, his Rebbe. His Rebbe was the Baal Masorah. Was a very, very. The Baal Tzilo, he allowed the Baal Tzilo to say whatever he wants, but he himself personally said Geshem. Many shuls are like that. As far as I know, I don't pay all close attention. Chaim Berlin, you can say whatever you want. No one's going to stop you. There are things they're very makbid on. Not that. You say whatever you want. You can say Geshem, Goshem. You can say Yiskadel. You can say Yiskadal. Only thing you can't do, the whole. I once saw this is no good. Once someone said Yiskadal, Yiskadesh. That was. Whew. He was killed. They shot him on the spot. What?
I I've seen a lot of people do that. They don't know what
no, that's not right. You got to be consistent. You got to be consistent. All right, let's go back to our topic.
It's not Hashem, it's God. Hashem is the name.
The name.
Baruch Hashem. It's a bet hey, Baruch, the name. Whatever the name
is. Wherever the name is. The shame Hashem.
People think that this is the
No. It's a reference to the name of Hashem. It's sacred. It's sacred. You don't want to actually say Hashem's name, so Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Absolutely. Look, this week is the big week of Shem names. Yaakov Avinu was given the name Yisrael by both the Malach and Baruch, as you mentioned, and by Hashem later on. Okay, this is the week of the name. Let's go further. So here, Kisach Elokim, over here, according to Rashi, Rashi learns that we're dealing with Talmidei Chachamim, and over here, Kisach means the throne, or the authority of a Talmud Chacham is Elokim, is, according to Rashi, is divine. Kisach is a Sar Vishoy Fate, authority.
This is the Makar.
The Makar of what?
The
Sara Torah?
Who came up with the name?
I don't know. Good question. Who came up with that name, the Sara Torah?
We said we don't know, but now I'm looking at Rashi. Rashi came in here.
No, not necessarily. Authority. Rav Chaim Kanitz had no authority over anyone. He had no authority. He didn't have any.
Rabbi Levine.
Yeah?
I just came across last week. I was reading a book about Telzi Sheva.
Yeah?
And there was an ad that Telzi Sheva put in the Yiddish newspaper that the Chazon Ish was Mifta.
Yeah?
They wrote Sara Torah.
So he says that the Talzi Yeshiva, when the Chazonish was Nifter, the Talzi Yeshiva put an ad of mourning, and they refer to the Chazonish as the Sar HaTorah. So it's not new to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zechzak Levracha. They even use that term in reference to the Chazonish. Who is the one that invented that term? I have no idea. Over here in this pasuk, it's used as authority. Elokim is an authority. And Rashi's translation of Elohim is Sar Vishoyfeit Li'olam Bo'er King Shenemar Nisaticha Elohim Lifaro. Yosef, it says that I've given you over as an authority Lifaro, which means he was the Mishne Lemelech. I'm sorry, Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe that you will be an authority over Paro. Nisatich Elohim Lifaro, Veloma Bishvloma, why? Okay, so there's a different.
The Sar means prince.
An authority. I think
the Prince of Torah. Sar Bishayfe means the prince.
Colloquial.
Of justice.
Sar
is,
a prince. Okay, so I think that's colloquial.
High official or prince.
I think Mordechai, the word Sar colloquially refers to like majesty, beauty,
right.
Ceremony,
Prince,
but in Rashi it means more. It means authority.
Right.
It
That's
means authority. Right.
Yeah.
But the way today when they say Rav Chaim Kanievsky was the Sar HaTorah, people invented that term.
Prince of Torah.
Prince. It just means majesty. It doesn't mean that he can make any legal decision for anyone. He can't tell the government what to do, and he can't punish anyone. If someone doesn't listen to him, he can't punish you. He doesn't have legal power. He's a prince. The way we use the word in our vocabulary is not the way Rashi is using the word. Rashi is using the word as a real authority. A real authority means you can punish, you can imprison. You can take away their assets. It means Elo Kisacha Elokim Oilova. Now you have to appreciate, according to this interpretation, it would appear that Elokim is not sacred. It's not a word which just like when it says in Parshas Mishpatim, Ad Ho Elohim Yovoi Dvar Hashem, that word is not sacred. When a sofer writes the word Elohim in the Sefer Torah, he does not have to say L'shem Kiddushas Hashem. When a sofer writes the Sefer Torah and he comes to Hashem's name and he writes Tefillin and Mezuzahs, if the sofer does not say before he writes Hashem's name L'shem Kiddushas Hashem, the Sefer Torah is pasul, and you would never know. You would never know. That's a very important halacha. And in fact, the sefer has to go to mikvah before a sefer writes Hashem's name in a sefer Torah, the halach is he must go to the mikvah. He must go to the mikvah and he must say l'shem kedushas Hashem. There are a number of times in the Torah and in Nach when they buy a set of nevi'im for the haftarah, where there is a machloikis in the mefarshim, if when it says a name like this. Is it Kodesh or Chol? For example, Oz Huchal Likroi B'Shem Hashem in Parashas Noyach. Is that B'Shem Hashem, is that Kodesh or is that Chol? So today, all of the new, you're talking about Mordechai,
it's
changed in Bereishis? No, is it B'yeh?
Yeah. That's why it's a machlokes, whether you stop.
Stop there. So it's not a machlokes, it's a new thing. This is another example where Article 1 today, years ago, no one ever stopped there. The Aliyah ended, That's where the Aliyah did end. So why did they change it? So Rashi. Because Rashi says, Asu Chalikah B'Shem Hashem, Rashi says that it's Lashon Chol Avodah Zarah. So therefore, it's not the minug to be Messiahing when you lane with a Dovah Ra. It's a terrible tragedy. That possibly it says that's when Avodah Zarah was introduced into this world. Also, Chalucha Likra B'Shem Hashem. Rashi on that pasuk says Lashon Choil. Avodah Zarah was introduced into this world, and art scroll, and therefore you're not messiah with the Dovah Ra. So therefore, it's not. Therefore, people felt that it was a mistake or is incorrect to conclude the Aliyah at that point. So they changed it to a different area to stop earlier. Now, or whatever, they changed the order. And now what's so shocking to me...
everybody helped like Rashi, some people said...
Unkelis! Unkelis! Yeah.
Right.
What more do you possibly want? Unkelis says it means he made him his Beach, it was L'Shem Shemayim, right. Hashem's name. So it's a Pella that, no, between Unkelis and Rashi, which one would you assume is the primary, is primary? Unkelis! V'haraya, this halacha, Shnayim Mikra, V'echo Targum. There's no such thing as Shnayim Mikra V'yechad Rashi. Bidi Evid, if a person doesn't have time to go learn to read the Unkelis, so Bidi Evid, there's a whole dilemma if you can be Yotzei Shnayim Mikra V'yechad Targum by reading Rashi. But Me'ikar Hadin, Shnayim Mikra V'yechad Targum. Unkelis, Pshutuki Mashmoy. So when you have a machloik between Rashi and Unkelis, what do you follow? Unkelis. For at least for the Pashup Shad. So it's a Pella. For generations, it would appear that the place where Klal Yisrael stopped the Aliyah was Asu Chalik Rebashem Hashem. Obviously, it's because that's what Targum says. It's a good place to stop. Asu Chalik Rebashem Hashem is not Avodah Zarah. When it says Hashem's name, it means they called out in the name of Hashem. They prayed to Hashem. Okay, so today, unfortunately, people forgot that it's called Unkelis. And they look in Rashi, Baruch Hashem, the generation is Rashi. And Rashi says that it's a bad thing. Also, Chalik Rebashem Hashem is Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah. How could there possibly be an Aliyah break in the Chumash? It must be a printer's error, and therefore everyone is wrong. Therefore, we have to change the Aliyah. The Aliyah should not end over here. The Aliyah should end somewhere else. I mean, to me, it's a shocking thing. In all of the old Chumashim, come on, believe it's min haklal. That's where the Aliyah ended. Also, Chalik Rebashem Hashem. This is a new thing. As far as I know, maybe I'm wrong. And art scroll, for whatever reason, they did what's popular, which they do very often. And what's popular is to be yotza yidei shneim. Why should we only be yotza shitas unkelis? Let's also be yotza shitas Rashi. So they change the place where the aliyah comes to an end. It's a chiddush. It's a tremendous chiddush. Look, Bereishis. How does the whole world translate the word Bereishis? Bereishis, baro elokim, es hashman ve'es haaretz. So in the beginning. So Rashi, long Rashi, Chas v'Shalom. It doesn't mean in the. It means towards the beginning. The world already existed before the Torah, and now, after creation, at some point in time, Hashem, he was Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Hashemayim V'Yisaretz. Towards the beginning, the pasuk leads into the next pasuk, towards. The beginning of the creation of Shemayim Varetz, the earth was Toyu Vavoyu. The Torah does not begin with the beginning. Yet everyone in their mind is in the beginning. So where does that come from? In the beginning. Unculus. Unculus translates the word Bereshis.
It's not an exact starting point.
According to Unculus, it is an exact starting point. In the beginning, in the English language, means literally in the beginning. Before the world was, there was nothing, zero. Hashem, now in the beginning, Hashem created the Shamayim and the Aretz. Rashi says, don't say this, that's not the pshat. It, you have to read the first pasuk together with the second pasuk. Towards the beginning of creation, the earth was toyu v'vohu.
But even in English language, if you want to say like Uncles is saying, you would write English grammar would tell you to say at the beginning means at the beginning.
So
in the beginning means during.
Yeah,
the beginning.
I don't think so.
Well, I'm just telling you.
In the beginning is towards. I don't know.
Could be in the process of something happening.
It's a stretch of
place.
Time. It's not one exact point.
Right. It's not one exact time. Not necessarily. At the beginning means right at the beginning.
If they wanted to do justice, if you open up the Arts Gold Stone Edition where they translate the pasuk, they do not translate the word in. In the Hakdama to the Arts Gold Stone Edition, they write very clearly that our Chumash is different than every other, our translation is different than any other translation that has that ever has been published, in that we are translating the pasuk according to Rashi, which is a total not truth. Because we learn Baruch Hashem in the afternoon, we learn Chumash Rashi Unkelis, and countless times, the Arutz Gold translation is translating the pasuk according to Unkelis and not according to Rashi. And a few selected places they make a big deal that they're translating the pasuk according to Unkelis. All right, in any event, let's go further. Elokim is there are times when a sofer writes a sefer Torah, he must say before he says writes Hashem's name l'shem kiddushas Hashem. If he fails to do so, the sefer Torah is possible. Before he writes Hashem's name, he must go to mikvah. And there are times in Chumash and in Nach when the word like this appears, and in the commentators there is a dispute if this refers to Hashem or refers to a mundane authority. And the nafkamina is, if the sefer does not say l'shem kiddushas Hashem, is the sefer Torah pasul? And adrabba, should he even say l'shem kiddushas Hashem? Is it the correct thing to do? So the soferim have their mesorah, they have their manuals. These questions have already been decided. A sefer, they have a whole manuals for the soferim to know exactly what to do. It's a very, very important thing. Can they correct it afterwards? No, they cannot. There's no way to correct it. If you write Hashem's name without going to mikvah, without, so either the whole Uriah has to go, the whole Uriah, which can have 3-4 columns, has to go into Shemus. A tefillin and mezuzah, there's nothing you can possibly do. But they can do what they do on a Sefer Torah. The only Svardim are allowed to do this. I was once taught how to do this, and I used to practice it years ago. I took a course in Safras. I used to practice doing this. It was, I shouldn't say fun, but Ashkenazim are not allowed to do this. Sfardim had never had such a prohibition, and Ashkenazim, they give this to Sardim. They take a very unique razor blade that's so razor thin, and you basically hold it and you bend it. You bend it like on an angle, and then you very delicately, you rub it against the cloth, the parchment, and you basically take off Hashem's name with a sliver, a teeny sliver of the parchment itself. Parchment is thick. There's a thickness to the parchment. So if you know what you're doing, you can take off lines of text.
Wow.
And after you take it off, the ink is on parchment, and yet the parchment beneath it is good to go. You just sand it down, and then you make sirtut. You have to etch the line again into the parchment as a guide. That's a requirement. And then you can rewrite any mistake you made. Sorry?
Why do Ashkenazim?
Because when it comes to Hashem's name, there's a fear that you're going to mess it up. You have to have a lot of skill to do it. Not every piece of parchment is the same. And if you cut Hashem's name in the middle, that's mechikas Hashem.
Just do it all the time.
Well, they don't have it. What?
Do
No, you said
go to the skin unit in Cornell or anybody who's had.
Okay, that's pikuach nefesh. That's pikuach nefesh.
No, I'm saying they take off the thin layer, slit from one part, and then they graft it on the other. Right?
Okay.
Which is to that, but.
Okay, that's a medical procedure, but Ashkenazim. Yeah, of course. But you save the whole cloth. Okay, a piece of parchment today costs a lot of money. Everything, the prices of everything are skyrocketing. A piece of parchment, a sofer spends an enormous amount of time writing an entire piece of parchment, and then they check it and they find there's a mistake. Hashem's name is in the wrong place. So the whole thing has to go into Shemus. You know how much money that is? You know how much time and effort that is? So what is the solution? You take off just the section, but you want to correct it. I can't correct it because it's Hashem's name. You wrote the wrong pasuk. You wrote a few words and Hashem's name is not in the right place. So the solution is you take off 2-3 lines, which has Hashem's name on it, and then you can rewrite that section when you can save the entire section that has an error. So Ashkenazim they're not allowed to do this. Because there's a fear that when it comes to Hashem's name, you may slip, and you may not perfectly take off Hashem's name in one sliver, and you'll cut Hashem's name in the center, and that's a violation of Mechikas Hashem, which is a Dover Chomer Ad Moed, to erase Hashem's name. The Sfaradim would never accepted this ban, this prohibition of doing so. So the Ashkenazim, they give it to the Sfaradim, even though it's an Ashkenazi Ksav. It's Ksav Beis Yosef or Ksav Arizal. The Sfaradim have a different Ksav. It's Velish. They have a different Ksav. But the minig is that the Ashkenazim, they give it to the Sfaradim. And Ashkenazi is not allowed to do this. It's to take a sliver of Hashem's name off a Sefer Torah to this technique of using a very, very fine razor blade.
They didn't invent an instrument to do that?
They do it like this. The people know how to do this. They can take off lines like nothing.
Did you just say to save Torah from Young Israel to a Sephardic
sofer?
To do it and to bring it back here.
To bring it. No, we're talking about it needs a repair.
Yeah, I understand.
Yes, a person who is who
just
is
a person. Not allowing to
correct,
do it.
Correct, correct, correct. There is a ban on Ashkenazim from doing this, from this technique of taking a razor and taking off a sliver of a Sefer Torah that has Hashem's name on it, out of a concern that you will not have the proper skill, and in the process you're going to cut Hashem's name in the middle. And that is a very severe violation of Mechikas Hashem. Sfaradim would never accept such a chumrah, and they have no problem doing it. And it's a very simple solution, where if you have a sofer who's an Ashkenazi and is writing a Sefer Torah and he has this problem, he goes next door to his neighbor, the Sfaradi, who is also a sofer, and he will do it for him. And that's the end. Shalom al Yisrael. Okay, now, in this pasuk over here, we have Kisacho Elokim Olam Moed. According to the parish of Rashi, Rashi learns that referring to Talmidei Chachamim, Talmud Chacham as a kisei, and his kisei is a kisei of authority. Olam Boed, he has a legacy forever. Why? This Rashi's parish in the beginning of the parak, the beginning of the Mizmah. The whole Mizmah, according to Rashi, is dealing with Talmidei Chachamim. Go back to the very beginning. The very beginning of Mem Hei, we had five different perushim as to who is the subject of this Mizmah. Rashi, Al Shoshayim, L'chvoi Talmidei Chachamim. The page 400. L'chvoi Talmidei Chachamim, Yistu Hashir Hazeh Shehem Rakim. Every single pasuk here has been interpreted according to Rashi consistently as a reference to Talmidei Chachamim.
So how does this explain Olam Ba'ed here?
I guess what does it mean? I don't know. I don't know. You're right. I don't know. Maybe it means in the next world. Maybe it means in the next world. Maybe it means that their legacy lives on. Their legacy, the legacy of the Talmud Chacham, lives on in this world forever. Or maybe it means that their neshamas, they live on forever in the next world. Good question. I really don't know. Kisacha, the throne of a Talmud Chacham. What?
The psak
halacha.
You
okay.
Can't change.
Their
you
legacy.
Ain
bezin yochol levatel divrei the bezin shel chaveroi el imkein gadol nimenu b'chokhmo v'minyan. You're right. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. You go to these cemeteries and you see Matseva Yisrael, Gidoyla Yisrael, people don't even know who they are. Never heard of them. They never heard of these some you know, not everyone has the mazel where their legacy lives on. Look in the Mishnah Berurah, the Haskama to the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah Chavetz Chaim, when he wrote the Mishnah Berurah. So he went to the Gedolim of his generation, and they gave him a Haskama. So they always say this is not. I don't even know who these people. I don't know who. You look at the beginning of the Mishnah Berurah. So who's doing who a favor? So ordinarily today, when someone writes a sefer, so you go to a rashiva, you go to a well-established person, and you say, can you please write for me a haskama on my sefer? So the rashiva says, yeah, I have nothing to do with myself. I have nothing. I have to go to the Agudah convention. I don't have time for this. It takes an hour and a half, 2 hours just to get there. I have time to read your whole sefer and to comment and to tell you that this is no good and that's no good and this apikorsus and this is not.
You can answer.
And then after I finish, I have to go sit down and think what to write. Unless you're a genius, you know, this takes an enormous amount of time and effort. I have nothing better to do with it for you. So who's doing the favor? But I need you. If I don't have a haskama, they're just gonna push it away. If you write a haskama, you know, it'll be semi-legitimate. Maybe someone will not just throw it in the garbage.
Look
if
at what haskama is.
What? I have no time to read.
There's a haskama on the person.
Right. Right. That's 99% of the haskamas that I have no time to. I don't have a chance. I looked, I scanned it here and there. I know the person. He's my student. He's a good person. He should have a lot of hatzlocha. See, Marbitz Tarbi Yeshua. Right. That's a standard nusa. People that are very famous. They tell my secretary to go write you the haskama. Or the best is
it's not the haskama that turns into the bracha.
The bracha, exactly. That's very good. It basically means he's a legitimate person. You're right.
It was a base medrash in Chofetz Chaim. A bracha came in and he gave Rabbi Henoch Leibowitz and Rabbi Neumann the Mashgiach a sefer that he wrote, and it was Shimon Ida, and he wrote the first thing that he wrote Hilchas Shabbos, and he gave it to him and he brought it into Shir and he said, I sat down with Rob, we read this through, and I just want you to know that look what you could imagine. This is a bacha, an unbelievable guy, because everything in here is very good. And look what you could accomplish. How old is he? Wasn't much older than any of us in the Shia. And he said, look what he wrote.
Amazing.
You should aspire to it. He gave a whole Shia on the sefer that he wrote.
Look, I had in the house a Dibris Moshe. Moshe Feinstein, one of his farm that he wrote in Lomdis on his Shiurim,
right.
And somehow after my parents passed away, we were cleaning out the house, and we gave away a lot of things which we had mamish, we had no room for, and we went through everything meticulously, and somehow this sefer, this Dibris Moshe, of Moshe Feinstein himself wrote a mazel tov to my grandparents when my parents got engaged. Okay, so my grandfather was very close to Rav Moshe, the Lower East Side, and when my mother got engaged to Rav Moshe Feinstein, he wrote a beautiful bracha, a divrei bracha, and he gave it to my father, maybe he gave it to my grandfather, and we missed it because Rav Moshe didn't write it on the first page, he wrote it on the second page, so when we went through meticulously. I had my brother come down, everything, and we finally decided that we can't, there's certain things we have to get, so I called a pinter, and pinter came, we paid him, and he took away stuff. I get a call about a few months later from my neighbor down the block, Eric Guritz, says, do you know that there's the Dibris Moshe that was given to you, probably to your father, or to your grandfather, and Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote this beautiful Divrei Bracha, and it's up for auction now on this website, an auction. It's up to $400.
Wow.
I said, what? Mm. What? I go to the website. I talk to see. It's up for auction, $400. So I call up the Balabas. I finally get a hold of him. I said, you ganef. Give it back to me. I want a chutzpah neura. So he says to me, you know, people like you call me every single day. I know what happened. You probably, you basically, you have a lot of shame. So you gave it away. You didn't realize what's inside. I'm sorry, I'm not giving it back to you. The only way you get it back is if you have, you show me, you bring me a police report that has been filed with the police department that it was stolen. Otherwise, you're not getting it back.
He's an avarian.
He's right. He's right.
Closing down. He was a mekach toes.
That's what I said. That's exactly. I'm with you, Abdul. So I started arguing. He said to me, basically, he says to me, you gave it away? I said, yeah, I did. Did you look? I said, I looked. He says, you didn't look good enough. It's too bad for you. Yeah, he was. I'm being a little more blunt. And he said, I'm sorry, this is nothing I can do. This happens literally every single day. There's nothing I can do. So he said to me, at least what I'll do for you is, and that, so then I said to him, then I said to him, he says, I'll make a photocopy for you. I'll make a photocopy for you, a good photocopy, so you'll have what it says. You'll find out who the winner is, so you can go talk to him. And if you want it, you want to go buy it back from him, so you'll buy it back from him. I said, all right, whatever, I'm going to go fight with him. So he made a photocopy for me, and I have wrote down whoever won it, whatever it is. So then I said to him, okay, this is the part I'm telling you. I said, tell me, is it really worth $400? So he says to me, no, it's not. He said to me, my estimation, I'm in the business, I do this every single day, that I deal this. I estimate that there are, I think he told me, 20,000 volumes in the world that Rav Moshe personally wrote something in.
Right.
20,000? Can it really be? You can write so many? Maybe he told me 10,000? He told me either 10, I don't remember, I think he told me either 10 or 20,000. Right. Rav Moshe gave away his son like nothing, like water, and he wrote, he scribbled, 1, 2, 3, he was a Jewish Rav Moshe, he just 1, 2, 3, he wrote something. He says, it's not worth it. It's really, it's very nice, sentimental value. On the market, these two guys, they're fighting it out. Why, he says? Then he told me, basically, they're crazy. You want to waste money on something? I have other things. He says, they want it. They fight with it. So no, they want to go spend $400. I gain, I get. Gesundheit hate for them. But he said to me, it's not really worth $400. He says, there are 20,000 things like this out there from Moshe. He says, whatever, they want it, so they want to fight for it. So that's why they're, I don't know. So how do we even get into this? I never remember talking about. I don't remember we got into this. Okay, let's learn. Let's go a little further. Let us learn a little bit more. Let's go further over here. Come over here. We have Kisacha. We're dealing with Talmidei Chacham. Kisacha is your throne. Sav Shavu Leil Amoed. King Yitzchenema. Nisatich Elohim LeFaro. Lama. Why? Why do Talmidei Chacham merit this was? Why? Bishvil Shevet Mishor Shevet Malchusecha. What does that mean? The shevet of uprightness is the shevet of your malchus. What does that mean? Shemishpotecha emes viruoy ato limlech. Look at these beautiful words. It's because you're honest. This is a very scary thing. Talmidei chachamim, have to be honest. There's a famous song that it says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. So Chazal Dash, what is Esther? There was Shimon.
Shimon Ben Amsuni.
Shimon Ben Amsuni was Doiresh every S in the Torah. Yeah. Until he came to the Pasuk S, Hashem Elokecha Tira. And then he says, I made a mistake. There's nothing that you can compare to Hashem. Nothing can be expounded from the word S. So therefore, I cancel my publication, all my life work, I retract. Okay, there's an incredible intellectual honesty. He went through the entire Torah, he expounded upon every single S in the entire Torah, until he came to the end of the Torah, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. He was shaken. How could there be something over here that you can append to Hashem? Therefore, the same way I'm wrong regarding S Hashem Elokecha, there's nothing that compares to Hashem. It must be that every time it says S in the Torah until now, also it doesn't mean anything. There's nothing to expound upon. You have to be consistent. And therefore, Shimon Hamsuni's intellectual honesty demanded that he retract from everything that he darshan in the entire Torah. Until Rabbi Akiva came along, and Rabbi Akiva was machadesh, dover, nifla, admo'oi, the world didn't appreciate, is no. And that Rabbi Akiva darshan is, we take it for granted, Baruch Hashem, but Rabbi Akiva darshan is literally earth-shaking, that there is something in this world. There is indeed something in this world that can be considered to be an extension of Hashem. L'rabois, Talmidei Chachamim. Es Hashem Elokecha Atid, the same way that you fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should fear Talmidei Chachamim. They are an extension. That is an incredible chiddush, which Baruch Hashem, I think in this generation, we all accept and we take for granted. It's part of our DNA. That's right. Talmidei Chachamim, Kavod HaTorah. Tenu Kavod HaTorah. Es Hashem Elokecha Atid. Now there's I wouldn't say it's a joke, but it's not the pshat. That's certainly not the pshat, but it is a stinging vart, which is a chassidish vart. It is es Hashem Elokecha tira l'rabos talmidei chachamim, that they also have to be yirei shemayim. Because sometimes when a Talmud Chacham gets into his position, sits upon his throne of authority, all of a sudden there are different rules for me and you. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, the Talmidei Chachamim, don't forget, you also have to be Yirei Shemayim.
You know, there's a variant understanding that says Ad Sheboa Rabbi Akiva. So he could darshan Ad Sheboa Rabbi Akiva. When he saw Rabbi Akiva, he said, Now
I appreciate it. That's a very beautiful idea. Ad Sheboa Rabbi Akiva.
Now I understand.
Such a type of person. It's a very beautiful idea. That's very nice. Write that down. That's very, very nice. But going back over here, look what he writes over here is that why do Talmidei Chachamim merit that they have a kisei, they're called Elohim, they have authority and it's forever. You know why? Amita shel Torah, because Torah is emes. They have integrity. This is the litmus test of a Talmud Chacham, emes. This is the mita that separates the men from the boys. People that know a lot. There are a lot of people out there that are geniuses and they have mastered, they can cite chapter and verse. But if they're not honest, the midah of emes doesn't permeate their essence. They're dangerous people, they're phonies. The midah of emes.
Was supposed to choose?
Anshei Emet
was the first one.
Anshei Emes. Moshe, what are you singing on Simchas Torah? What is the song? The song of Simchas Torah, Moshe Emes, Vishrasay Emes. This is the Iker. This is right. That was by Korach. The Iker Malchus of the Talmud Chacham is Emes. Toiras Emes. Make a bracha. Asher Nosan Lanu Toiras Emes. This is the Iker. Emes. That's what we always say. Why is Torah so satisfying? We always say why today people go to shul. Why go to shul? Why go watch television? Watch television, go on Netflix, go watch all these movies. It cost $500 million to produce some of these films. And you see some of these clips, they're amazing. They're mamish, unbelievable, the technology and the acting. So why do people come alone to Daphne? You want to go, Ashar, Shenoga, Chesapara. A cow, an ox, of course, a pregnant cow, and there's the fetus. What's the appeal for people to come and learn a neder, koinam, this? These are esoteric. Why do people come and moisten nefesh to learn a daf gemara and don't spend their time? Some of these things are clean. Not everything is filthy. There are some good things. Chochma ba'amim tam. You know what the answer is? Because after you watch a movie, a clean movie that cost $500 million to produce with the most advanced technology in the world. When the whole thing is over, you know what you can say? It's not emes. The storyline, the theme, the behavior of the people, it's acting. And when you act, it's false. Not everything is so false. There's a lot of, you want to reenact true stories that happen. A person has a meter, a sensor inside their neshama. It's not emes. When you learn the shor, shenogach esapar, every single word on a page of the Gemara, on Rashi and Tosfos, is pure, unadulterated emes. And your neshama just gobbles it up. Because the neshama comes from Hashem, Hashem's chasima, the choisom shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emes, aleph, mem, tav, the first letter, the last letter, the middle letter, your neshama is emes. And you can smell a rat. A person has a sense and you can smell a rat a mile away. You can watch a film that's just, it's Moshe Chesalev. But after it's over, it's not emes. It's not MS. It's nice. It was fun. It was good acting. Good special effects. But it's not MS. A Daf Gemara is pure MS. But this is a Yisrael. And a Talmud Chacham, it's not MS, is poison. Mamish poison. Got to be very careful. And here this pasuk says it all. Rashi learns pshat. It's a very difficult pasuk. Rashi learns pshat. Why taka is it that kisacha elokim oylam voed? Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has established Talmidei Chachamim and given them a throne of authority forever? You know why? Rashi is not even far from the lowest. Rashi says, it's because. You have to add the word because in the past. It's because Shevet Mishar Shevet Malchusecha. Your modus operandi, your behavior is emes. You have a quest, a desire to rule and to live with uprightness. Mishar is just another word for emes. Mishar is another to be. That's how Rashi learns. V'lomo. Okay, look at this word. This is an explosive word here in the Rashi. He's adding this. It does not say this in the pasuk. Rashi is embedding this word. This is not a typical Rashi. Rashi doesn't like to add words in the pasukim. The Mitzudas, he loves to add words. He always adds words. Rashi, not so much. Rashi is a minimalist. He likes to, you know, to keep the words of the pasuk to its bare minimum, but here he has no choice. Vilama bishvil, two words. Mamish, two words. He's adding this in. Vilama bishvil, she, and a shin, she shevet mishar shevet malchusecha. What do those words mean? Rashi explains, she mishpatecha, your piskei halacha, your decisions, your advice, your etzais are emes. And therefore, that's why you are deserving for the kisei elokim oylam bo'ed. Virohui ata limlech. That's why you're deserving to rule, which means in this context, to have authority. Okay, next pasuk. Ahavta tzedek. Again, describing the Talmud Chacham, you love tzedek. Vatisno resha. And you hate resha. Al came therefore, Mishachacha Elokim Elokecha, Hashem has anointed you, the Talmud Chacham, Elokim Elokim, your God, with Shemen Sosan Mecha Veirecha. And again, this is not like with the Mitzvot, because we're not dealing over here with you, like we learned yesterday, the predecessor, especially Rashi. Mishachacha Shemen, Mishachacha dat Shemen Sosan, Kol Leshoin Gedula Neufel Olecha, Leshoin Mishicha Shemen, Kidas Hamalachim. The word shaman means nothing more than greatness. Because kings...
They took it from the song...
From Bar Yochai. They took it from the song... I know, the whole Sefer is plagiarism. They took it from Lipa Schnelson. They took the David took all the lyrics. So...
By the way, I'm sorry to... When Rashi says, Mishpatecha MS, V'roi Yatzo Limloi, I think Rashi may be learning the word sar v'shoifet. Sar is, it's two different things. In other words, sar is like referencing the limlet part. In other words, majestic.
Authority, majestic authority.
No, sar, just majestic. That's the limlet part. V'shoifet is the part that's mishpatecha emes. Because mishpatecha emes, roi ato limlet. That's the two, it's two different things. Sar and Shoifet. Sar is the majestic aspect, the prince, the official, the Limloich aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shoifet, and he's the judge, the true judge. So that's why Rashi is saying later, I mean, I'm thinking that, Shemishpatecha Emes, that's the Mishpatecha, that's the Shoifet, and Veroi Yatzo Limloich. That's the Sar aspect.
Okay, very nice. There are two different elements.
Sarah.
But he's saying that there's more majesty. There's greatness. This is something which today they try very hard, that they give Talmidei Chacham. It's not just okay, they're in charge. Just being in charge is not enough. You have to have some flair. You have to have some grandeur. Like, go to these conventions. If you're just going to tell everyone to come into a room, we're going to go to the most boring center, where we're going to serve everyone bread and water. You have a good convention. You come to a good convention, everyone's going to sleep on the floor, on a cat, and we're going to serve for the meals bread and maybe peanut butter and water. That's it, some coffee. And we're going to have the whole day just speeches the entire day. No one's going to come. No one's going to come. There has to be some flair, some special effects. That's the way we are. Yeah, people are people. Mitach shaloy l'shma bo l'shma. People need to be turned on. You have to have a Pesach Kron give you some inspiration, and you have to have some good food. And today we're so spoiled, you know, we're so spoiled today. What was considered to be being pampered 20 years ago is nothing today. Today you have to have this and this and this.
A couple of jokes.
You got
a
couple, you know,
stories.
Okay, so there's
jokes.
Something to it. Look, this is something you can't say that this is a new thing. This is the way it was in ancient times. Ancient times, Malchus, Kivoid Malchus. Because they say today that when you see the President of the United States, do you make the bracha? Baruch she nosan michvoide lebosa v'dam. So this is a big, big machloikas apoiskin. If you would see the President of the United States, you'd see the Prime Minister of England, do you make a bracha? The queen is another problem because the queen, so they don't have really power. They have very limited power. But let's say you see a person today that has enormous power. President of the United States, enormous power. I mean, there's no joke. So do you make a bracha? So there are different opinions. But one of the arguments that there are people who make that you do not make a bracha is there's nothing really different than him than anyone else. It's very likely that you're wearing a more expensive suit than he's wearing. You know why? Because when they show the president right away, everyone knows what he's wearing, and they go online, and if what he's wearing costs more than the average American, they'll right away scream, "Oh, you spoiled good for nothing! How dare you wear $1,000 dress when the average American woman could only wear a dress that costs $50 and this and that." They don't necessarily dress and behave with malchus, royalty. And part of the bracha shenosan mechvoide lebosa v'dam doesn't just mean that he has power and authority and can make your life miserable, but there's a certain hanhoga of malchus. There's a certain conduct. In fact, in ancient times, it seems that there was a language that only a certain type of language, only royalty is allowed to speak in that language. If you speak in the language of royalty, then that's a crime. Argamon, Techeles v'Argamon, used to be certain types of colors. You're not allowed to wear purple. There are certain civilization societies.
Right.
This color is only from Malchus. Anyone dear have on their body, on their garment, this color purple, this is treason. This is a crime. You're not allowed to do this. There's a special language. Obviously, you see that in ancient days, there's something to Malchus, grandeur. And Talmidei Chachamim also, they behave, conduct themselves in a certain royalty. Today, because it's gone too far with this, and there's too much abuse, so today, in certain circles, there's more of a need that don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. Dress like everyone else. Just wear a regular jacket. Don't wear any special clothing. Don't sit in the front. You sit in the middle with everyone else. Don't overdo it. Because unfortunately, because the people who have gone too far have abused their power, it's not necessarily looked up to. It all depends. All right, let's go to the next Rashi. More Pasuk test.
In this translation, just backing up, what is the translation of the word then, shame? What is it?
Authority. A good question. So, I think it's shemishpotecha, your halachic decisions. Sheva means your, I think it's a metaphor for your decisions, your piske halacha, your decisions in law, your advice, your halachic resolutions. Shevet means your authority. So here it means someone came to ask you a question. Is it kosher or not kosher? A spoon fell into a pot. A milchatika spoon fell into a pot. Is the food kosher or not? So shevet means you come to ask me a question. Whatever I tell you, you're going to do. If I tell you the food is treif, the food goes in the garbage. I tell you it's kosher, you're going to eat it.
That's the mishor part.
No, that's the shevet. That's the shevet. The mishor means it's correct that when you'll go and you'll check into the sources and you'll study the Shulchan Aruch and all the Noisei Kalim, you're going to conclude that he was right. The rabbi was right. The rabbi really
so
knows.
That makes good translation. The authority is mishor, and then shevet, your authority,
and
is
that is it's a poetic expression. That is why it is fitting for you to. That is why it is fitting for you to be in the position that you are in. Right now, the reality is you're in charge. Well, how did you get here? How come you're the rabbi and I'm not? The answer is because your conduct, your halachic, your authority is not abusive. It is just. It is emes. Every decision that you made in your position is correct. You did not abuse your position. You were not influenced by bribes. There were no ulterior motives.
Now the next word.
No lunch is
said. It's a poetic. It's a poetic. Shevet Mishor, Shevet Malchusecha.
Your scepter of royalty is a scepter of correctness, Mishor.
Read it backwards.
Truth and soul.
You deserve the Shevet
the
Mishor.
Of your Malchus, your royalty.
Read it backwards.
It's Mishor, it's correct, it's straight, it's proper.
Read it backwards. Translate the expressions backwards. 99% of the time, when you learn Nevi'im Achrayinim, you learn Ksuvim, the only way to go is to translate the words out of order.
Oh.
Or backwards. Shevet Mishor, because it is fitting that you have a Shevet Malchusecha, because you are, your authority, your Shevet is Mishor, is just. You're honest person. Honest. You're not. There's no nepotism. There's no corruption. There's no abuse. Everything is done kedas uchudin, and that's why you deserve what you have. You deserve a shevet malchusecha because your shevet is mishar. You're correct. Read it backwards.
Okay. A plane. Right?
A plane is flat.
It means it's even. No bumps. No. It's not tilted in any direction.
No corruption.
It's
glatt.
It's
smooth.
It's, you know.
There are no other motives. Everything is there's transparency, which is not really transparency, and there are no ulterior motives. Everything is, everyone that analyzes your decision will say correct. Correct. What can we say?
It's based on Torah Emet.
Of course. Okay, let's finish up the Rashi very quickly. More next pasuk. Pasuk of the pasuk of the test. More v'aholetz kitzios kida mitar geminon kitziasa. It appears it's a certain type of herb. Some type of herb. Kol bigdoy secha. Kol bigodecha merichim kireach besamim. All of your garments, they have the fragrance of besamim. Okay, so obviously this is a metaphor of grandeur of Malchus. And what is the metaphor? Umid will know that this is a medrash. This is going off the pshat. Umid Rashi, kol begidoy secha v'sirchay necha misgaparim umerichim reach orev. All of your mistakes, begidoy secha means rebellion, and your v'sirchay necha, and you're falling out of line, they have been forgiven. Miskaparim, Hashem has forgiven you for all of your sins. Of course, this means because you did teshuvah. Every day, Ein tzadik bo'oretz asher ya'aseh tov v'lo ra. There's no such thing.
It means b'gadecha.
Rebellion.
B'gadecha.
That's the first shot.
Your clothing.
That's the first shot. The first shot. The first shot is called b'gadecha of your clothing. So therefore, in the first shot, it means that you are you're a king. You're a king. You're a beautiful person, and your clothing. Ordinarily, the word clothing is a metaphor for nidos. That's.
אפילו even the Bogdav.
That's a drasha, right? That's right. What is the Pshuda Shel Mikra? Okay, the Pshuda. The word bigodecha ordinarily means, it means, it's usually the word beged is a metaphor for your midos, your behavior, your conduct. You have very good midos. Your midos are like an aroma. They have fragrance. You speak to a person any time, you talk to Mark. Mark has such good midos. Mark is so nice, so polite. You talk to Mayor, a different story. You have good midos. Okay, that's the normal shot. However, here, now the homiletic interpretation is the word beged also means to be boygate. It means to rebel. Every person has a little rebellion in him. There's a little bit of a rebellion in him. He's a rebellious nature, and the person works as a person works his entire life to correct his bad midos, his rebellion, his sircha, and his mistakes. He does teshuva, and Hashem forgives him. They are all forgiven, and when Godol teshuva, that it turns even shagogos into even zedoinos into zechuyos. It can make and that's according to the drasha. Kol begidei secha v'sircha inecha mischapenim mrichim reach orev. They are forgiven. They are forgiven. All right, we have over here more. So much more. We really have to pick up some speed. It's my fault. We're in a rush. That's right. We're in a rush. We are in a rush. We got to go rush. Okay. So we're gonna try to definitely pick up more speed. Try to prevent me from getting sidetracked. Don't go my nonsense. My bum nonsense. So Mirsham, tomorrow we'll continue. In the meantime, we'll take a short break. And then we want to do part two of Gid Hanoshe. Some interesting things about Gid Hanoshe. I prepared. Yesterday was part one. Today will be part two of Gid Hanoshe.
Rabbinic note.